Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 bacon bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the bacon cheese slider, 1921 bacon cheese slider, or chicken bacon ranch slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 bacon bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Are you trying to do it all and do it all flawlessly? Break away from the cult of perfection with best-selling author and founder of Girls Who Code, Reshma Sajani, on her podcast, Brave, Not Perfect. Each week, Reshma explores ways we can be braver in our everyday lives because bravery is a habit that you form. She'll help you build that muscle so when it really matters, you're ready to take on life's challenges. Tune in and subscribe to the Brave, Not Perfect podcast wherever you're listening right now. Fidelity Investments is looking for talented people, people who love helping others, people eager to start a career in financial services. Sounds like you? As a customer relationship advocate, you'll be the voice of Fidelity. You'll learn alongside other resourceful, friendly associates, all working to achieve clients' financial goals. Learn more about the opportunities at customeradvocate.fidelitycareers.com. Fidelity Investments is an equal opportunity employer.
Give me the green light. Give me just one night. I'm ready to go right now. I'm ready to go right now. I see you move. I'm checking your smile. Working your back like it's going out of style. Shake just a little bit faster. Shake now a little more, girl.
Your face is literally the best part of these songs.
Okay. Shout out to John Stevens, aka the legend that is John Legend.
He is EGOT.
EGOT. We stan.
We do.
Praise the Lord, niggas. Welcome back to Getting Grown with Jade and Kia. I'm Kia.
I am Jade.
And we are back to talk about the scam that is adulting. The good, the bad, the ugly, the tests, the trials, the twists, the turns, the temptations, and the taxes of being a real life adult in the year of our Lord, 2019. What's cracking?
Oh, sis, you know, I think I just... Yes, I'm tired. It's been a busy day, but it's been a fulfilling day. Absolutely. I was just telling sis that Noah's first day of school was today. Mm-hmm. So y'all are going to get these good old back to school pictures because that's what we got to do as cliche mothers.
Does she wear a uniform?
She does not.
Okay.
She goes to a school of freedom. So they allow expression of the students. And she is now in the phase where she likes to dress herself.
Oh, my.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Budding fashionista.
Oh, yeah. She did. Actually, I think she intentionally was trolling her Auntie Kia the other day because she goes, Mommy, can I dress myself? I said, you know what? Why not? So I said, do it. So your girl came out in a pair of white jeans.
Okay.
And a skirt.
No problem with those.
And a skirt. Oh,
she had a skirt on over the jeans?
She did. Yes. A hoodie and a t-shirt as well.
My word. All of these clothes. Was it cold?
It was so many things. It was a little chilly that day. That's why I let her do it, because she came out in her outfit. She goes, can I wear this? And I said, you know, the black mother in me was like, hell no. But, you know, the new mother in me was like, you know what? Express yourself. It's not hurting anybody.
Mm-hmm. What a time.
Mm-hmm. So it's back to school season. Dance, you know, back to dance season. So we got, it's like full blown parent season. Like, I'm glad these little niggas are up out the house though, and I know y'all are too. How are you?
I'm doing okay. You know, just again getting I guess it's low key back to school season for me too, just because.
Of course.
Just because it is like, you know, September is just kind of like the start of the academic year. And while I don't work at a university proper, our programming calendar kind of, you know, we are really intense. We go really hard in the summertime, and August is kind of our month to recalibrate. So mm-hmm. September, we start to prepare for like conference season, which is coming up in November. So just kind of getting myself set up to do some things in the fall. We had our
take
staff
your vitamins.
Retreat. Yeah, we had our staff retreat at the end of last week. Mm-hmm. It was like just a good time to just kind of regroup and recenter and get a sense of what we're up against as an office and what I'm up against individually.
Amen.
So yeah, I mean, today was a good day. Just kind of, I've been praying for like strategy and strength and success for the whole squad.
Please do. And let's pray on Kia's behalf, because she about to be traveling her titties off. And I
mean, I think I got a little time. I think September is not as intense.
Okay.
Things pick up a little bit toward, you know, when we get closer into October, November. But, you know, it's getting ready. I'm trying to get ahead of it so that I'm not under the wire. But you know how these things go.
Yes, I do.
But I'm trying. I'm trying to do things a little differently this time. And hopefully, you know, I'll make it out with my edges intact.
Your edges are always intact, sis, as well as your cheekbones. So
we're grateful.
You're going to be good.
We're grateful.
You're going to be good. Well, with that being said, shall we get into some trash? It's very short this week.
All right. I'm actually glad to hear that, because I don't know if I could take a lot of trash. All right.
I couldn't, but you. Yes.
Okay. Let's do it.
All right, the trash is so brief. And I have to, let me just say quickly, the trash, like, I don't know if it's me. I don't know if it's this age. I don't know if really there's not really like a lot going on. I'm so disinterested in everything that's happening in pop culture these days.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. I was talking to like some friends of mine over the weekend, mm-hmm. and it was just like they were all engaged in what the blogs and everyone was saying and doing. And I can remember a time when I was very much, you know,
yes,
in the YBF and, you know, trying to figure out who said what and in the comments. And I just am less than concerned these days, like less than. I was telling them, I was like, you know, when you really, really get into like your business, like the business that pays you, it really just consumes you to the point where it's like, girl, I don't know none of these people or their business. I don't care. My tired is tired. Okay.
Sis.
I just cannot take the, like, and then especially when we're hearing all kinds of craziness. Like in the news. I mean, it's like we are, you know, concerned with, you know, another bitch coming forward as Fetty Wap's baby mama. It's like, girl, I don't care anymore.
I never did, but I just don't.
It's like, dang, like y'all are still allowing this nigga to insert your bodies.
Well, there's actually a couple of things that maybe I'm just weary and tired, because. So if we shall get into it.
Okay.
It is brief.
Okay.
Keke Wyatt is pregnant again.
Oh my God. Is this baby 19? What is it?
Yes.
She's baby trying to be like
baby 10.
19 and counting.
She's literally pregnant with her 10th child.
Is she Amish?
That was probably
maybe.
I'm
sorry. I can pretty much guarantee you nobody Amish listens to this show.
Well, I hope not, because I'm sure they are. Readily offended.
If they do, they ain't supposed to. But I don't. Yeah, no. She's just. It's just fascinating.
10 children in 2019. My uterus literally shudders at the thought.
My uterus doesn't even. My uterus will shut down, and literally the piano will close. It will pick up its suitcase and say, "Whoop, time to go." It's time to go.
Keke Wyatt. I mean, my lands.
She's trying to make sure that she's secure in the future. So she's just having babies palm babies, my nigga. It's wild.
She's really out here having an offensive line.
Dead ass. She's got like, she's got like two starting, I think she's got two starting teams in basketball, maybe in the five.
Believable. She's definitely got a 3-on-3, strong 3-on-3.
Strong 3-on-3 with
tournament.
With a couple of backups.
My God. I mean, well, I guess congratulations are in order, sis.
Congratulations.
Continue to flourish.
But you better not have no damn baby shower.
could you imagine?
Hell
it's like
no.
Like a baby tsunami at this point.
I would call and cuss her out. You cannot have a baby shower after like the second baby. You just can't do that. Maybe if the family throws you one for the third, we're going to let you rock. But
like the girls at work can like, you know, play some games, but they're not going to buy you nothing major.
No, we're not about to be having like multiple like baby showers. Bless That's just heart. Not where we at.
Gender reveals. The
gender reveals exhaust me. I know they exhaust my nipples.
Oh my God.
Will Insecure be an hour?
I hope
I don't know, but Issa's teasing us.
She is. And I mean, this is genius marketing on her
It
part.
Is.
But, you know, I hope so because, you know, it seems like just when it gets good, it's like 24 minutes is just
it should
not
be
long
done.
Enough. Exactly.
She knows.
It's like 24 to 27 minutes. And I mean, last year, I feel like we're on our way there because last season's episodes were inching. They were upwards of 30 and 40 minutes.
About 38,
you
39
know what I'm
minutes.
Saying? So mm-hmm. I feel like we're on our way somewhere. So we're just going to hold out for Issa.
She know well, if they're not, then that means she was totally trolling us. And she was like, I told y'all, nigga. I told y'all, niggas.
She did. She has been telling us, but I mean,
she's
still.
Like, y'all do know this show is not going to be an hour. Shut
I
up about it.
I just feel like anything is possible since we've gotten Trey Songz off the Power theme music.
Can we just like talk about collective coming together?
Collective work and responsibility. It's a Kwanzaa principle. The people came together. Mm-hmm. I mean, with purpose and intention. And they said, we have got to get the trigger out of here.
Coochie Jackalia.
I'm with it.
And then lastly, I told y'all it was going to be short this week.
Oh, wow.
Kevin Hart. There's a couple things. So Kevin Hart got in an accident.
Yes.
He's been through some things. He got 3 spinal fractures.
My gracious.
But he doesn't have a whole lot of sympathy. So right before he got into this accident,
people don't have a lot of sympathy.
They don't have a lot of sympathy for Kevin Hart. Kevin Hart, because Kevin Hart has said some problematic things in the past. We all know about, you know, we've all read up on him. And then he was in an interview with Lil Nas X. I believe it was on LeBron's show.
Yes, The Shop.
The Shop. And the host was asking Lil Nas X about coming out. And Kevin interrupted him and was like, who cares or why does it matter or something along those lines.
And he didn't say who cares. He was just like,
but
why
does it matter?
I didn't get why does it matter. It was just like, well, why? Because Lil Nas X said, I guess when he was talking about his coming out and why he chose to do it, when he chose to do it, he was talking about, I guess, his experience and, you know, whatever apprehension he had about coming out as a younger, you know, black male. And Kevin was just like, you know, kind of questioning like why he felt a way about that.
Which I know there was different opinions on it. Some people thought it was dismissive and got angry about it. They were like, why, you know.
Yeah.
And the reason, and I can understand why it can be perceived as dismissive. And I think Lil Nas X does a really good job of explaining himself, even when he don't have to. And it is important because this is somebody's experience. This is somebody's experience. And I think that when we don't fully understand other people's experiences, it's not necessarily our job to try to fully understand. I mean, we should, but if you don't understand, there needs to be a certain point in time when you just shut up and respect it because it's not your experience.
Agreed. And I mean, while I recognized and felt like I understood, you know, all the perspectives and the concern that was raised. I also feel like, you know, I mean, and then it's not my place, but just my personal opinion. I wasn't personally offended. I'm not, you know, neither male nor gay. But to me, I kind of, and maybe this is my own ignorance, so I'll own it if that's the case. But I kind of took it as, you know, I understand how conversation, I've experienced barbershop conversation and niggas cut each other off. Like,
all the time.
And it's not, you know, I thought, you know, just like thinking as far as context and culture was concerned, I could see how Lil Nas X could have been offended. And I could see how he could have not been bothered by it at all, just because, you know, just growing up in that dynamic, mm-hmm. like, you know, in certain homes, you know, we talk all over each other. That doesn't mm-hmm. make it right, doesn't excuse it. But I'm just saying, like, I think, you know, I mean, I think that we should acknowledge that it was a variation in perception, how people receive the comments mm-hmm. and the backlash that that, you know, happened as a result of, you know, everyone responding. But it was like, for me, it was shocking to see how in, you know, less than a 36-hour period, we went from praying for Kevin Hart and his family to frying him. That was very interesting to see.
It would be people would be responding to the articles, you know, Kevin Hart got 3 fractured, whatever. And people would be like, that new McDonald's chicken sandwich is flames. And I was like, oh my God, what is going on? I didn't know what was happening. And then I saw. And I will say, maybe, I mean, this is just me giving him the benefit of the doubt. I don't know. Maybe he was asking why it's a big deal because he's trying to show, like, maybe we shouldn't be paying so much attention to people, you know, how people identify themselves. Maybe he was trying to show, like, oh, well, it's not a big deal. So, like, I don't understand why saying it like that. I think maybe. Right. I don't know. However, again, if it's not your experience and you're not fully trying to, maybe he was trying to understand. Maybe that's why he asked. But if you're not trying to understand, it's just your job to respect it. And that's on multiple issues is what I think.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, I will say, like, to me, Lil Nas X hasn't come forward saying that he was bothered, offended, felt silenced or what have you.
I really like that young man.
I don't feel, I mean, Kevin Hart, you know, is trying to, you know, get his health back. So, I mean, I think there's more conversation that needs to be had. I think a lot of the reactions are mm-hmm. based on people's own perceptions and mm-hmm. the way that they receive Kevin Hart's comments, which mm-hmm. is fine and fair and all open for and, you know, up for grabs in terms mm-hmm. of like social commentary and how mm-hmm. we respond to things. But I think the conversation is one that is really nuanced and layered. And complicated.
Agreed.
And
Agreed.
It's okay for us to, you know, be on different sides of things. Mm-hmm. And it's okay for us to just kind of like sit back and listen to what folks have to say. Like, you know, I fully agree with everything you said about acknowledging, you mm-hmm. know, everybody's experience. But I do feel like we do need to create spaces where we can have those kinds of difficult conversations and make people feel safe enough to express their ignorance without feeling like, you know, they're going to be crucified. You know, because we all have to come to a place where we can talk about these things in productive ways. And sure, one could argue that Kevin Hart should know better, but mm-hmm. he don't.
Like, he don't. He
and
he
I mean, sometimes niggas are just simple. And I'm not excusing him, but I just feel like at what point are we, vilifying and frying and canceling people for the sake of canceling them? Or are we raising points so that we can kind of move the conversation forward mm-hmm. And help us all to be in better positions to, you know, talk about these things mm-hmm. in, you know, respectful ways across the board. So I don't know. I think there's a lot more conversation to be had.
Kia and I actually discussed today. We want to have a conversation about that in the future, in the soon future, in the upcoming future.
And we just have to see, you know, how things continue to unfold.
In the future. So I think it's a good conversation for us to have because cancel culture is definitely a thing. And I'm not saying nobody has a right or they don't have a right, but we definitely need to create a space in order to have difficult conversations because every conversation is not going to be easy. Everybody's not going to agree, but we do need to have them as long as they can be productive.
Absolutely. So. Fact of the matter is we're all steeped in problematic ideologies. Mm-hmm. We're all steeped in anti-blackness and anti-whiteness and, mm-hmm. and you know, not anti-whiteness, anti-blackness mm-hmm. and white supremacy and all kinds of problematic beliefs and, you know, problematic, gender norms and, you know, sexual, you know, norms around sexuality mm-hmm. and sexual expression, those kinds of things. It's like, we just sometimes we just don't know what we don't know until we know that we don't know it.
Right. Right. So, it becomes a problem when you don't want to know and you continue to make nasty right. comments about it. But right. we do need to have those conversations because there are, we'll get into that. We're going to get it. We're about to have a whole kitchen table talk. I know. But let's move on to our shout out.
Okay.
That's our trash.
My sister's popping right now. Like.
So our shout out this week is actually for Beverly Bond, creator of Black Girls Rock, which aired this weekend. Did you have a chance to watch this?
I did. I didn't get a chance to finish watching it, but I mm-hmm. saw a good 2/3 of the show. Mm. I saw Niecy Nash. I saw the openers. I saw the opening act, you know, all the, you know, Crystal Waters and mm-hmm. Cece Peniston. I saw Ari Lennox perform. I Ooh. Saw...
in her boudoir outfit.
It was so good. Like, it was yes. really, really good. And we just always stand Beverly Bond and the spaces that she creates to celebrate all the dynamic, wonderful aspects of being a Black girl, doing awesome Black girl things and influencing the world. It was really dope. It was really dope.
It was very, very dope. And her speech, but Angela Bassett's speech, that lady right there is living magic.
She is.
She is living magic and literally the epitome of drink your water, mind your business, like, and moisturize your skin.
like legitimately.
Personified.
I mean, she still looks like Niecy said, like she still looks like she did in How Stella Got Her Groove Back. And like that movie is a good 15 years old.
Is and Taye Diggs still can't act. I don't care. I said what I said. But Beverly Bond made a beautiful speech. Angela made a beautiful speech. Her made a really nice speech. She such a talented young lady too. Yeah. It was a really nice show. And shout out to Cheska Lee.
Absolutely. Shout out to Cheska Lee.
Shout out to Cheska Lee. She invited me over to watch the Black Girls Rock.
Same.
And had a bunch of beautiful Black women in the room and was a huge consultant for the show. So shout out to her, Black girls who are actually rocking.
Yes, indeed.
She's part of our shout. So Black Girls Rock is our shout out this week.
Absolutely. And shout out to Cheska Lee. We're so dope. She's like, you know, she shared a story on Instagram how she went from, you know, sharing a moment with Niecy Nash on the red carpet to writing for her. For Black Girls Rock. So it was just like a full circle moment about, like, you know, how you continue to keep your head down and do your work and grind, you know,
you'll reap the benefits
can actually come true, like real time, real life.
Absolutely.
So yeah, it was just really encouraging and awesome. And I'm sorry that I couldn't make it up to New York to watch it with you guys, but
it was a Sunday night. I get it.
I know. Child. And you know, I had to be at my desk on Monday morning, but God bless. And you know, in the future, you know, I'm hoping that, you know, maybe next year I can come.
Well, maybe next year we'll be there.
Oh, wouldn't that be cute?
Ooh, let's speak that into existence. Maybe next year we will be there. Uh-huh. And there will be new representation. I know there was a discussion around a lack of trans representation at Black Girls Rock. So it would be nice to see next year. I'm not going to do any bashing or anything right now. Of how it was done, because how I thought it was beautiful, but it would be nice if we continue to let it grow and let the inclusion flow in and that we include all of our Black girls. So,
agreed.
And maybe next year Getting Grown will be in the building. So let's speak that into existence. But let's move on to our kitchen table talk.
Let's do it.
Support for today's show comes from Third Love. With more than 70 sizes, including their signature half cup sizes, Third Love designs bras with breast size and shape in mind for a perfect fit and premium feel. Y'all know how we feel. Me and Kia talk very often. I know y'all probably about sick of us talking about our titties.
They're so good.
But the fact of the matter is the right titty's bigger than the left titty. One's a fist, one's an open hand. They're all different. everything's different. Third Love makes sure that there is a bra for each and every one of us, whether our titties are asymmetrical or what have you. This is hands down the most comfortable bra you'll own, with straps that won't slip and tagless labels, not to mention lightweight, super thin memory foam cups that mold to your shape and are proprietary to Third Love. Best of all, every customer has 60 days to wear it, wash it, and put it to the test. And if you don't love it, you can return it and Third Love will wash it and donate it to a woman in need. Third Love knows there's a perfect bra for everyone. So right now, they're offering my listeners 15% off your first order. Go to thirdlove.com/grown now to find your perfect fitting bra and get 15% off your first purchase. That's thirdlove.com/grown for 15% off today.
Support for today's show comes from Scentbird. With Scentbird, I found a way to mix up my fragrance routine without breaking the bank. Whether it's Tom Ford, Gucci, Dolce & Gabbana, or Versace, Scentbird.com keeps me smelling amazing month after month. So everybody knows that I love to smell edible.
Mm-hmm.
It's just important to me. It's a priority. It's a personal value of mine. Scentbird sent me 5 amazing fragrances, and I can just literally pick my pleasure every day. I can smell like, you know, just your daddy's wet dream. and it is just my favorite thing ever because, you know, I just love it and I don't have to come out of my pocket hundreds of dollars. I can just, and I have it, I can carry my little cute little Scentbird flask in my purse so when I'm traveling or on the go. My favorite scents so far are definitely Versace and Tom Ford. I just be smelling like everything and you should be jealous. Scentbird is a luxury fragrance subscription service for perfumes and colognes. You simply choose the cologne or perfume you want to try from more than 450 designer brands, and they'll send you a 30-day supply. That's 120 sprays, sis, enough to apply more than 4 times daily for just 1 month. And with an exclusive offer just for our listeners, you can get 50% off your first month today. That's only $7.50 for your first fragrance. All you got to do is go to scentbird.com/grown and use our code grown for 50% off your first month. Again, that's Scentbird, scentbird.com/grown, offer code grown to get your first perfume or cologne for just $7.50. Sign on and smell amazing.
All right.
It's time to grab your snacks and your shade and meet us at the kitchen table for our weekly discussion. This week, I wanted to just kind of tackle millennial myths because I was out this weekend. I'm not even going to say where I was, but because, you know, you hear them all the time in all different places. But, you know, I was at an event and someone from an older generation made a sweeping kind of comment or generalization about millennials. Mm-hmm. And per usual, it was both loud and wrong. And it really inspired me. I mean, because it was stated with such a level of authority and expertise that, I mean, you know, to the untrained ear, you might think that this individual knows what he was talking about. Howsoever, you know, it didn't take much, you know, questioning for me to discover that he did not. So it made me start to think because it's, you know, it fascinates me. This is something that happens very frequently. People kind of throw this word millennial at all kinds of issues, all kinds of occurrences. And it's like, why is that? Like all things, like we cannot blame all of the issues of the world on the millennials, especially because, you know, the millennials is but one of maybe, let's say, 4 living generations on this planet, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted us to talk about, I mean, I thought it would be interesting because, you know, we made me start thinking about like, what are some of the crazy things that people say about millennials? And you know, I did some digging around the internet and saw that there were some kind of active millennial myths, but you know, given, we know that mainstream media doesn't always acknowledge the experience of folks of color and other marginalized identities. So I thought I took to the interwebs to ask my sisters and brothers and cousins and nephews and nieces, what are some of the things that they have heard throughout their life and time around, you know, what people have to say about being a millennial. And I got quite a range of responses, but one that first ask you, because I know you've been running around being a mom all day.
Thank you.
But what are some of the things that you have heard people say about millennials, and how has that made you feel?
Well, actually, what's funny is I have a tweet in my mentions that you might have seen, which basically sums up my opinion.
Okay.
And it says, and this is from, let's see, I want to make sure I give our Dope Cage with a K.
Okay.
And he says, I loathe the very word millennial. Apparently, we're all lazy crybabies who spend too much time protesting social justice issues. Yeah. And that's how I feel about being a millennial. That's how I feel. Like, I actually hate the word millennial because of all of the negativity that's surrounded in it.
People have used it as kind of like a wastebasket. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like a end all be all kind of term. Yes. And I mean, just a little digging around the Google will quickly bring you to some data, some actual proof and evidence that our generation, the millennial generation, is in fact no different than any of the generations that have preceded us. So just for the good of the order, I got loads of tweets. I even posted it on Instagram and Facebook, and yes, I've gotten lots and lots of responses. Mm-hmm. And I have some favorites that I'll share, but by and large, I kind of summarize them into these kind of major categories that I'll go through and just kind of share. And then I found some actual stats and things on the internet that actually debunk a lot of these claims.
Oh, fascinating. I cannot wait to hear. If I may say quickly too, I feel like millennials range. You know what I'm like?
That's
y'all got to stop. Okay, you know what? I'm jumping ahead. Go ahead, sis. Go ahead.
Oh, man. Okay. The first one is millennials are not young.
Not really.
Millennials are not young.
No.
We are not young at all. In fact, the youngest millennial, there's a lot of debate and variation. There's a wide range of opinion around who is even considered a millennial. Mm-hmm. Generally, the range is, folks born between the years 1980 and 1996.
Right.
However, in 2017, the Pew Research Center reported that millennials were actually folks born between 1977 and 1992. Mm. In the case of folks born in 1996, that would make the youngest millennial 24 years old.
Okay, which is very different from
myself. Which is very different from myself also, but it's also very different from someone who is like traditional college going age. So someone who's 24 is not someone who's 17 or 18.
Mm-mm.
There may not be a huge difference between the two, but there is a difference. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, especially I find this quite frequently in church, like we kind of group millennials in ways that are not fair. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Correct.
Right. Especially if we go by Pew Research's definition of the millennial that said the oldest millennial was born in 1977, that would make him or her 42 years old, which would in fact make these college age, like traditional college age children, these 18 to 23 year olds, you can honestly be like your mom could be a millennial.
Right.
And y'all out here, regarding this large, massive group of people in the same ways. And it's just not right. Like,
it's like anybody who's young and uses technology.
Yes. It's like, you millennials and your phones. And it's like, first of all, no.
First of all, the saints love Facebook. Y'all be on your phones more than anybody. So let's start there.
Exactly.
So y'all love to scroll and check in.
Simply Neek tweeted, she said, first things first, I would like them to get the generation straight. These 16 and 17 year olds ain't nobody's millennial.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Simply Neek, sis. Like, that's it.
Thank you very much.
We like these kids legitimately, like no one in high school and no one who is an undergraduate is a millennial.
No.
Y'all got to cut that out.
Like, you really do. And they weren't raised the same as us. We come from a time, we remember the world without social media.
Right.
we went through the age that they are right now. We did not have social media during that time. Maybe we had MySpace and yeah, I think that was about
and
it.
Like
Facebook
Black
didn't
Planet.
Even come and Black Planet. But it wasn't what it is today. The pressures, the exposure, the amount of exposure, it's not the same. And so I feel it is very unfair to loop persons like us, ranging from, you know, 77, whatever, to 90, whatever. These people who have lived, it's not fair to group us in with the rest of them. It ain't. These kids are different, and we ain't them.
Right. And not to judge them, even though that seems like, you know... easy to do sometimes, yeah. But not to judge them. But still, like, you know, we need to be more hopefully, I hope that folks will be more cognizant of mm-hmm. that fact, right? Because mm-hmm. I'm grown.
Because so I'm grown.
The way that people kind of talk about millennials in these, like, dismissive ways and patronizing mm-hmm. ways, it's like, don't disrespect me, bruh. I'm grown.
Also, we're grown in... most of the things that are happening outside of the social media, but like a lot of the behaviors, like you mentioned earlier, mm. are not different from what the youth was doing maybe in the 70s or the 80s.
Totally wrong. I mean, like totally, like you're totally right, brother. Mm. So that was the next kind of general mm-hmm. theme. It was like millennials. The every like almost every response that I got to either the tweet or the Instagram, I did a questions poll in my stories. Everyone said, you know, the most common myth that they are tired of is that millennials are lazy and entitled, especially with respect to career and professional endeavors, mm-hmm. who are often accused of career hopping, expecting early promotion, skipping the steps, and lacking the work ethic that's required to kind of progress through the professional ranks in traditional ways. When in actuality, it's been found that millennials don't work. It's not that we don't work hard. We just work differently. And oftentimes we work smarter. And we are able to multitask in ways that prior generations don't have a concept of. Mm-hmm. And they deem our capacity to do multiple things at once as a lack of focus. Mm-hmm. When in all actuality, our generation is the generation of multiple tabs.
Mm-hmm.
Like
yeah,
we have
you're right.
multiple tabs. We have multiple tabs. We have multiple applications running in our minds at all times.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, as such, yeah, you know, that's just how we function. But millennials are lazy. That is a big myth.
I wish somebody would call me lazy.
Like legit, like
we gonna fight
these like, and I mean, studies show, and I mean, not even just studies, but even my Twitter poll, people mm-hmm. were saying, you know, I got three jobs and I'm in school, or I'm raising these kids and going to school and working a job, or you know, we live in the time of the side hustle, so mm-hmm. it's like there are actual like proof, like you know, people in the time on the timelines like saying, there's no way that I could be considered lazy given all that I do. And even like, you know, as actual statistics that show, it says the millennials are the most competitive mm-hmm. employees of prior generations,
mm.
especially when compared to baby boomers. So 58% of millennials said that they compare their performance with their peers as against for 48% of other generations. And that was reported in The Economist. So it's like millennials have a drive that prior generations like Generation X or the baby boomers don't have. Mm-hmm. So and as far as like I think our willingness, we also don't feel like we're boxed in to mm-hmm. to doing things a certain kind of way. So we don't feel like we don't have certain allegiance or obligation to kind of taking the traditional steps of a career, like working from, you know, working our way up. We kind of bounce around in ways that other people don't understand. And that really leads people to talk about us, you know, out of turn.
I think one of the pros that I feel is that millennials are really focused on where it can be viewed as flakiness or flightiness within jobs, like you were saying, because it's not the traditional climbing of the ranks, mm-hmm. you know, putting in your time, retiring from the job that you started when you were 18 or what have you. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like one of the pros is that it's not that it's flakiness or flightiness. I think what we're trying to do is we're the generation that's focused on not settling. And so,
and we're open to trying different things,
open to change. And so we're trying to find that those things that fulfill us, because it's important that we're talking so much about fulfillment, about mental health, about emotional health, how we can properly take care of ourselves, breaking generational curses. So there are those pros where we are really focused on being fulfilled as people, whereas maybe some of our elders, our Gen Xers, our baby boomers, were scared to try new things. And now, so they look at us as flaky and flighty because we'll go and try new things. And that's not fair to group that in and call us lazy or call us flaky or flighty because we'll do that. People right. don't want to sit up in the same job if they're not happy with it. Like, why would you want to do that? Why would you want to stay at a place that you're unhappy with for 25, 30 years? That right. just doesn't make sense to me.
Absolutely.
What else you got?
This one was a good one. Millennials are too PC. Meaning that, so like saying that we're activists and advocate for civil rights, and we don't just go along to get along mm-hmm. in ways that that prior generations have. So we buck back, mm-hmm. we buck convention, we're inherently opposed to problematic ideologies. We're not afraid mm-hmm. to ask why or question traditions, practices, or conventional thoughts that are marginalizing mm-hmm. And that may be based in unethical, immoral, or unjust beliefs. So we don't just like, and I think that as a result, it's really easy for people to say that we're like the quote that you, I mean, like the tweet that you read, like we're lazy and we're too busy being advocates and activists and we lack the focus that's required to, you know, I guess keep our jobs and take care of our families. And people say that makes us too politically correct. We're too mm-hmm. concerned with those things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, we do want to get into a conversation about that, and I don't want to go too much into it because we want to have a kitchen table talk about it. I'm not going to completely disagree. Mm-hmm. But I'm not going to look, it's not a bad thing
for us to be a PC culture. I think that there has to be balance, right?
Exactly.
We don't want to lean too far on either one of these things. It's just mm-hmm. like, you know, you have to have, it's about having balance. But I interrupted you. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, you're fine, sis. It's a super fine line because while you may call it PC culture, I think one thing that we're focused on, like you said, is trying to make sure that we respect those in marginalized communities. We are Black women. We're part of a marginalized community. And then you've got our LGBTQIA community. We've got a whole plethora of things that we need to understand better. And it's good that we are trying to learn one another a lot more. Where I think you can get in a little bit of trouble is not having the patience for people who were not necessarily raised like that. Or because a lot of this, if you think about it, a lot of this speaking out and really educating has been very vocal in like the last several years. So people are still trying to understand a lot of things. And I think allowing the patience for those who are trying to understand is something that we might need to work on a bit, as opposed to just writing people off when they don't fully understand. Now, if you've got people who are willingly ignorant, you know, they're willing to be ignorant. They say negative and ignorant things and they don't want to understand, that's when it's like, all right, we need to have a conversation with you about, you know, like that's, you don't have, or maybe you don't have to have a conversation with a person like that because they're unwilling to hear your side of things.
Right.
But I think it is important that we do stop and we exercise a little bit of patience when people don't fully understand of former generations or even those of us within our generation who don't understand. Now, I know we have the stance as Black people. I'm using Black people as an example where we're like, I don't want to educate white people no more on Blackness and why I need to be respected as a person. And I don't think that we should have to continue to explain ourselves on why we should be respected as people of different communities. But we do have to exercise patience for lack of understanding of those communities, if that makes any sense.
Grizzle. I'm gonna go through the others.
Okay.
Millennials are fiscally irresponsible. We are poor money managers. We are overspenders and horrible savers. And we are not making major purchases and investments. This one is particularly annoying to me because I feel like it does not consider or take into account the fact that, you know, like, it's not like we're just out here under ideal circumstances, right? Mm-hmm. Like history and the economy and politics and, you know, the sociopolitical climate of this country has had major implications for how we engage around money.
Whew.
And we cannot not talk about that. Mm-mm. And, you know, furthermore, it's just not true. Like, if it is true for some people of this generation, it's not true for all. And it's also can be, you know, if it's the case for millennials, then it's got to be the case for Generation X as well. And it's got to be the case for baby boomers as well. And I mean, if we're going to talk about it, a lot of the problems that we have inherited financially in this day and time, we've inherited them from our parents.
I love this song. this song that you're singing right now. I love it. But yeah, it's my jam.
That's what made me angry. Cause I'm, you know, and that came up a lot. People are like, you know, people are upset because we are not buying houses. And I'm just like, these are the same people who told us to go to college. These are the same people who, you know, made us put cable bills in our names when we was 8 and 9 years old. You know, there are certain things that may keep us from having certain financial freedoms and liberties that, you know, that they, you know, and we grew up in a different time, like cost of living is expensive. Everything is different now. So it's just not fair to hold this generation responsible for certain things without putting other considerations on the table. That's all.
Sis, it's fun. Thank you for bringing that up. You said it earlier. You talked about the economy being different than maybe those of baby boomers and Gen Xers. When I lived in Bed-Stuy several years ago, a standard one-bedroom apartment, where the going rate was around $1,500. This was also a jump because I remember when it was $12.
Yes, indeed.
I recently found out that the going rate for a one-bedroom apartment in Bed-Stuy now, minimum $2,300.
Gotta be.
So you cannot tell the generation below you who you raised, first of all, and taught money management to, because I do feel like a lot of us, and it's also dangerous to lump people all into one thing and say, right, this is what everybody's doing. But there's a lot of people right now who are teaching and trying to understand financial literacy because of how we were raised. But if you go strictly into cost of living, bruh, $2,300 minimum right now. What do you expect niggas to do? Like, what do you expect them to do? Look at how much things are going for and buying in New York. If you want to buy something for $500,000, $700,000, you got to go way out into Canarsie. You got to go out into Canarsie or into East Flatbush. And even those prices are raising constantly every single day. You want to buy a place in Bed-Stuy, it's going to cost you $1.3, $1.5 right now.
No way.
How in the world are people supposed to eat and raise families and talk about generational wealth when the economy and the government is not making it easy for us to do so? So that's not fair. And again, like you said, bottom line, y'all niggas taught us.
Absolutely.
So a lot of us are trying to, or didn't teach us. So a lot of us are trying to learn or unlearn bad habits. Anyway. Continue.
It's a lot. It's really just a lot to think about. You know, just to kind of give the other side of things, I saw a post, I think it was Washington Post or one of the other local outlets here in the district that said, if you want to live comfortably, and let's say you wanted to live comfortably in a 2-bedroom apartment, you and your partner, or you, you know, and a roommate, or just you, if you wanted to be able to afford a 2-bedroom apartment in Washington, D.C., you needed to make at least $140,000 per year. Like that needed to be your annual salary in order to live comfortably in a, not in a house, but in a 2-bedroom. To rent a 2-bedroom apartment, you need to be well into the 6 figures in your salary. So, I mean, just to kind of, you know, we cannot not talk about, you know, financial constraints or financial irresponsibilities. People really ride that whole, you know, we're the Starbucks generation and we spend this kind of money on coffee. People really ride that. And I'm not going to say that that's not true, but you know, that's not, we're not buying houses because of Starbucks.
No, we're not.
We're not buying houses because of some of a lot of other different factors at, you know, that are in play, that are of our own fault or of our own, you know, personal circumstance or condition. But also, you know, we got to talk about like issues of redlining and like the mortgage crisis of, you know, last generation and the implications of that. So we can't like, it's just not fair to just to, you know, make these kind of sweeping generalizations. So even like, you know, at church yesterday, we were talking about, they're doing a workshop on like, you know, how to, you know, how, do you want to be a billionaire? And it's for the millennials. And I'm like, that's all well and good. And I really hope that, you know, while you're out here helping, you know, young people to understand how to, you know, be positioned to make this kind of money, I hope that is also coupled with information around how to keep that kind of money.
Hello.
They don't want to hear that kind of preaching, though.
Good morning. But y'all don't hear me, though.
They don't want to hear that. All right. Millennials are anti-family. We don't have traditional family values. I think that that's absolutely fair to say. And we don't like to commit in relationships. That brings me to your prior point about our unwillingness to settle. Mm-hmm. I think we're okay being single for longer.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And I think that's
not
healthy.
A bad thing.
Yeah, I think if the converse is looking at the divorce rates of prior generations.
You know, the outside families or like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
and it begs the question of just think of a broader, of the need for us to just kind of have broader conversations and reconceptualize notions of family in the first place, right? Like what it means to be in relationship, what it means to be in partnership. Because what I'm finding in my life is that a lot of times we have different concepts of what these things mean, even as far as like it's dating and relationships and parenting. You know what I'm saying? Like people grow up thinking that it means a certain thing to be with someone, to be in considered a family. And we just be out here making these assumptions about one another. Like, you know, and we're not asking the right questions or having conversation like deep enough.
We're not. Because if we want to go toe to toe and you have a baby boomer who come, well, y'all got all of this polyamory where you can't settle down and find nobody. Well, y'all niggas had 2 and 3 families. So maybe that's why there was so many goddamn kids running around the planet, because niggas was stepping out and didn't have nobody to expose it. You was just house hopping.
We call it different things, right? You just call it different things. Kind of like, you know, people talking about the teen pregnancy crisis. And it was like, you know, our grandmothers, they was getting knocked up early, too. They was just, you know, having babies down south.
My grandmother got pregnant at 16 years old. She got married at 16 years old.
We just call things different. They're just different.
They are. But they're the same.
Millennials are soft or emotional. You know, we have lots of feelings. And I see that differently as this, you know, millennial. This is because of recent trends in self-care and mental health care and overall wellness and, you know, our capacity and willingness to acknowledge our stress and trauma and the mental and emotional wear and tear of being a person in this crazy world. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
No.
And if that makes me over emotional and soft, then goddamn it, that's what I'll be. And y'all still can't beat me, so I'm not worried.
you're not going to make me feel bad because you used to go cry in a closet.
Hello.
You know what I'm saying? And I'm talking to my therapist. I think it's healthy that people are having these conversations. I think more people telling other people, I'm not okay. I'm not okay either. Let's see how we can be okay together. Or let's see how we can support each other while we're trying to be okay individually. But you all feel away because you had to go cry in the bedroom and you couldn't do it, or you felt like you couldn't do it in front of nobody because you was trying to save face for the family.
And y'all not finna stress and worry me to death. Y'all not trying to worry my edges out of my head.
No.
Y'all not gonna worry me into hypertension. You're not gonna worry me into high cholesterol, or you're not gonna work me to plumb death.
No.
Okay, ain't nobody trying to die at my desk. Hello.
Hello and good morning. Y'all want to do this? You want to do this, baby boomers? Let's do this.
Let's go. Like, I'm ready. We can go toe for toe.
You can. You all have your issues, and it's not fair to put all of the issues in the world right now on one generation.
They said that millennials have killed industries. I think that is like, you know, us, you know, with delivery services kind of taking the place of restaurants and Netflix taking the place of Blockbuster. We've been accused of killing certain industries. And I'm just like, couldn't you argue that the covered wagon industry was killed by cars? Like, couldn't you argue that, you know, isn't that just a function of progression?
It's a function of progression. And the world has continued to progress in so many different ways. Color TV.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
DVDs replaced VCRs.
So what are you
going to
say?
You're going to
say they killed the radio.
Like, there's no more cassette tapes. There's no, like, and you could argue the MP3s have killed CDs. Like, isn't this just a function of us moving forward?
It is.
So I don't know why, you know, that's not nice. Whatever.
Y'all just don't know how to work your phones and you're mad.
I mean, and your font is at 42.
Sorry.
But I'm not judging because I'm on my way.
Same.
Before I hopefully get these LASIKs together.
Sometimes I can't work my phone, but...
Absolutely. Because I call XD all the time to be my tech support.
Oh, XD is so many things for me, honestly, truly.
And the last one, millennials are selfish, more individualistic than collectivistic in nature. People have accused us of being self-centered and only worried about ourselves and not really being committed to family or community. And I just don't buy that, because I feel like this is what this show is all about. Because I could be in the bed, sleep.
Could.
But I'm worried, you know what I said? But I feel like it's important for us to create these spaces where we can kind of hash these things out. So, I mean, I just wanted to just kind of get these things out in the air. I thought it would make for some good conversation. You guys were really dope and sending all manner of wonderful tweets and responses to my question today. And I would love to just continue, you know, for us to just talk about these things and, you know, unpack, you know, these myths. How do we combat them? How do we make sure that we keep things in balance and have balanced perspectives about these things? And to be fair, how do we make sure that we don't treat the future generation like we've been treated?
I know I might have a bad habit of just doing and saying certain things.
I'm already, you know, you
I'm
know,
be
I'm
mindful.
Good. I'm good for talking about these kids. So this,
I know,
is,
same.
It does help me to kind of be more mindful of that and to be a little bit, you know, just to be better.
You're right. Be better. It's a check. We need to be aware.
Yes. Indeed.
And we need to check ourselves and make sure that we are not growing into the same bitterness. And saying some of the same hurtful things instead of building up the next generations and being grateful for what they're going to do for our society to help it to progress forward as well.
Absolutely.
I think that was a wonderful conversation. That was a good kitchen table talk, sis.
Hooray.
And now we got honesty boxes to get into.
Sure do.
Are you trying to do it all flawlessly and you just end up tired or beating yourself up over little things? Yes. Do you fear you might fail all the time? Break away from the cult of perfection with Reshma Shajani by subscribing and listening to the Brave Not Perfect podcast. Reshma is the founder and CEO of Girls Who Code, author of the international bestseller Brave Not Perfect, and first Indian American woman to run for Congress.
Hey.
Her TED talk about teaching girls bravery has resonated with people across the globe and has 5 million views. This season of Brave Not Perfect is all about everyday bravery, the small but meaningful ways women can be brave in our daily lives. Because bravery isn't about slaying dragons and it's not something you're born with, as Reshma explains, bravery is a habit you form. She wants to help you build that muscle so when it really matters, you're ready to take on life's challenges. To fear less, fail more, and live with more joy, tune into Brave Not Perfect with Reshma Shajani. Listen and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you're listening right now.
Honestly?
Truly.
All right. So we have an honesty box, and our listener gave us her own pseudonym.
All right.
So we're going to get started. She says, hey, cousins.
Hey.
You all can call me La. I love you all. Truly a gift to the new adults like me.
Aw.
After graduation, look at that. Look at how that ties right on there. After graduation, I started working at a nonprofit agency.
Okay.
And my 90-day review, everything went well. No real concerns. I was asked if I wanted to change programs as the person in the current program will be on maternity leave and can't find someone. I asked if it was because I'm not doing a good job at program A. I was told, no, I'm doing a good job. I was given a few days to think about it. When I let my supervisor know that I wanted to stay in program A, I was nicely told that I didn't really have a choice. It's either that or I was quitting. So I chose to do program B. Program A is the age range I'd like to work with in my career as a social worker. Program B is a younger age range that I don't fully feel comfortable with, but figured I'd have to work with at some point. They plan on hiring someone for program A later on. I can't tell if it's because they need someone that bad or I suck at my job. Is it wrong of me to ask what I did wrong in program A, or do I just take my L and keep it bumping? If I do ask, should I wait to ask in some months, or can I ask now? I don't want to be the new kid that thinks they're great, but in reality, their work is subpar. I just want constructive criticism from my supervisor. Sorry for this being so long. I look forward to hearing you all's input. Thanks for the help, La.
Okay, La. I think it's dope that you're looking for constructive criticism and wanting to get better. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like that's something that you could be faulted for. But I, the fact that they told you one thing and did another gives me great pause.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I just wonder, like, you know, what that's about. Like, because I mean, at the end of the day, it's as if someone was being dishonest with you.
Right.
And that makes me, you know, cautious.
And I hate false choices.
Absolutely. And I fate that ultimately, like, there was an ultimatum. It was like, you have to do this or you don't have a job anymore. That being said, I do feel like it is a question that can be asked, but I would wait. I would wait a little while, feel it out, and I would try. And during that time, I would be very observant and trying to identify who to ask.
Right.
And if your supervisor was the person who said that you, you know, had a choice, but then said you didn't have a choice, you know, I'm a little reticent to say that that person is the person, but if that's the only person, then it may be about trying to figure out when's the right time to have that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I would wait it out a little bit, and just, you know, be observant, pay attention, and trust your gut. You know, because I mean, we when you have feelings about things and people, your intuition, you know, really doesn't steer you wrong usually. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think if it was me, I think that's what I would do. What do you say, sis?
I say the same thing. Wait it out a little bit, because the thing about it is, you never. Now, I'm not gonna say you never know somebody's intentions for you, but again, use your signs. Observe what's going on around you. And if you see that a person, like, if this person gave you a choice and then you said you were going to take this choice, and actually you have to do this, then you might want to be a little weary of them. You know what I'm saying? I know it can be problematic to step on your supervisor's toes and go above their head. That's never warrants anything good. But sometimes you need to do so in order to find out what's going on. Like Kia said, I agree with you. I would take a little time. Kind of see what you need to observe, who you're dealing with. You need to observe what's going on around you, and that sometimes reacting immediately is not always the best thing. So I would wait it out a little bit, you know, do the best you can in the program that you're in. for the time being. And then as time goes on, then you can ask for an evaluation. Like, I don't think there's anything wrong with you asking for an evaluation or for things that you can improve upon, especially if you're trying to do trying to do the best job that you possibly can. But I would agree with Kia. I would wait it out just a little bit, kind of see what's going on, and then feel, if you use your intuition, you'll feel what the best move is from there.
And it might not be you at all.
Right.
It might be it might be other things. It might be other factors in play that you may not be aware of at this mm-hmm. time. It may be somebody protecting you from something. It could be. I'm just saying, just take some time to just kind of get a lay of the land mm-hmm. and try to be objective in figuring, just understanding the context around the circumstances that you're in mm-hmm. and trying to get some understanding from that perspective. Mm-hmm. And maybe some other people that, at play, maybe some other people that you might be able to ask other than your supervisor. So I just feel like you need more information mm-hmm. Before you do anything. So that's what I would say.
And as the new person, you always have to take a step back and kind of watch for a little while. Because people will reveal themselves in positions.
Yeah, learn
people
the culture reveal, of the place.
Learn
yeah,
the culture of your work environment. Yeah. That is super important. Super important. So I hope that was helpful, La.
I do too, sis.
Please keep us updated and let us know how things pan out for you. And as you may see some changes, and maybe you will step forward and ask, maybe you'll figure out some things within your work environment on how to handle it a different way. But please keep us updated regardless. And for our listeners, continue to send your honesty box questions to gettinggrownpodcast@gmail.com.
And I want to be very responsible of the things I say to my sister, because everybody know I can be real petty. P-E to the T-T-Y, honey.
All right, it's Petty Peeves time. I think I'm prepared.
Okay.
Where do I begin? I don't like nervous drivers. Especially like in close quarter situations. So in the parking garage in my building, there's an entry door and an exit door. Unfortunately, oftentimes at least one of the doors is broken, which means that you have to enter and exit out of the same door, mm-hmm. which means that we have to all elicit the skills that we learned as kindergartners in terms of waiting your turn, right?
Wow, that's so simple.
I mean, but you would think that this is, rocket science. So naturally, you have to kind of like give people coming off the street the right of way
mm-hmm.
because, they're coming off the street.
Like,
So I'm coming into the garage today after work. And the young lady is coming out, and I know that she sees me and she sees the lights from my car, but she pulls all the way up, like she pulls all the way up to the door, and she's right in front of the door that's broken.
Mm-hmm.
I'm coming in the door that's working,
mm-hmm.
and she's going to turn into the door, but she's not giving me enough space to pass through. So I'm looking at her like, sis, you got to let me by. And I could see the panic on her face.
Why?
And I have no idea. I'm just like, I don't believe that I'm being threatening, or like, I'm literally just looking at her like, I am unable to continue to drive unless you move your car. And she's like, oh my God, oh my God. And I'm just like, you got to back up. and I mean, like, she was just so frazzled. And I'm like, it would be one thing if we were driving fast or if there was cars behind her, but it's just she and I. And I'm just, either way, I was very, very, very annoyed and had to lock myself into the car to keep from getting out and actually approaching her, because I was so frustrated in that moment. Like, sis, I can't move until you move.
Wow. Our petty peeves are so similar this week.
I was angry.
I get irritated with that too when people are when they're getting on the highway and they don't just get on. I'm like, why are you taking so damn long? Do you realize that you're causing more of a disruption when you inch out as opposed to just going? Nobody's saying go with reckless abandon, but go, nigga. Shit. That's not my petty peeve.
Okay.
That was just in unison with yours. My petty peeve is actually... for a specific lady this week. Y'all, it's back to our Jade Tales.
Oh my.
Y'all know how life goes. So we're getting ready to take Noah to dance. And we're, you know, rushing, trying to get her there. It's the first day. So we get in the car and we're like, damn, we need gas. That's all right. We're going to go right across the street to the gas station. As we're about to pull into the gas station, there's a lady in a Mercedes who's like inching into the gas station and then kind of sitting in the driveway. Tristan's like, can you just go? He beeps the horn a little bit. She like inches up and she's inching and we're just trying to get to the pump. So we think she's going to pull up to the last pump so that we can pull into that one right there. Very easy, right? They're both empty. My girl stops in the middle of both pumps. Not so she can get gas, but she's planning on parking there so that she can go inside the shop. So, sorry, God damn it, why that hit me right now. So Tristan honks at her again. Can you move up? And her window's down. So he rolls the window down. He's like, miss, can you pull up to the pump so I can pull to this pump? She yells out her window, wait a minute. What?
No.
So you know me. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, what? So he's like, he's like, can you pull to the next pump so that we can pull to that pump? You need to be patient.
Oh, man.
So at this point, you know, I lost it. I'm over it. I get out the car and I'm like, miss, pull up to that pump so we can pull up to this pump. It is not that difficult. There is nobody there. Just move your car up 2 feet so we can get to this pump right here. You need to be more patient like Jesus Christ. I saw red at that point.
Sis. This has tickled me. Okay.
Mind you, she got out of the car wearing a cream dress situation with super black, like, decorated stockings and cream shoes. Ooh, it was ugly. But anyway... Oh, so she told me be more patient like Jesus Christ. And Christ, I lost my mind. Who? I was like, no, I am sick of this shit. I was like, you do not get to be an inconsiderate person and an asshole in behalf of the name of Jesus Christ. I was like, do not tell me that. That is not fair. I was like, I'm so sick of y'all throwing that shit around so that you can be a terrible person. I was like, if Jesus Christ was right here, I guarantee you he would have pulled up to the next pump. She's like, I'm going to pray for you. I'm like, I don't want your juju. Don't pray for me, bitch. Just move up to the next pump. I was so,
oh my God.
I was irritated. And I say all that to say, you don't get to do that.
Don't lie on Jesus.
Not on anybody. I don't care if you believe in Buddha, Jesus, the Dalai Lama. I don't care. I don't care who it is. I guarantee you, whoever it is not giving you a pass to be an asshole to everybody else. That's not what this is about. And if that's what you're using your religion as an excuse for, is whack. I was like, Jesus Christ is not getting ready to protect you from getting these windows bashed in if you don't move up to the second pump. You need to move up. That's not fair. So that's my petty peeve this week. I don't care who you believe in. But don't use them as a crutch to be a terrible person. That's not, and then to tell me that I need to be a patient person and I have a lack of spirituality or what have you, because you are deciding to be an asshole on purpose.
That's a conversation though. Like, people have been using Jesus specifically in Christianity, They've been lying on him. I've been saying that for a long time. People have lied on Jesus in such a horrible way. And I just can't wait until he cracked this guy with dreadlocks to his butt. And get y'all together. Ooh, he going to be, I'm just going to be front and center. I'm going to have me some hot Cheetos and some popcorn and a good cold ginger ale. I'm just going to cross my legs and watch him read y'all for points. He's going to be like, let me tell you what I didn't say. Okay, you have been out here lying and tainted. It was me. It was not me.
I'm just tired of it. Like, you have all these religious groups and they screaming at people. They dress like a hoe. And you got this person who thinks that they can be an inconsiderate asshole to whoever's around them on behalf of them getting whatever done they need to get done instead of all of us benefiting from just being decent. Like, I'm just tired of people thinking that they can use religion in general to be terrible people. Because that's not what this is about.
No, it's not.
That's not what it's about. I don't care what anybody believes in. It does not give you an excuse to be a poor human being. And then what's happening is you all are selling the name of your fellows when you do shit like that. That's not right. You're selling the name of your, and you're selling in the name of whoever it is that you believe in, because you are then telling somebody else who may not be the believer of what you believe in. You then telling them, well, this gives me a pass to be this type of person. No, it don't. And it's not going to give you a pass from getting this back windshield cracked, well, bitch. Jesus. Well,
so, on that note, we want to thank you all for your time and your attention during this another episode of Getting Grown with Jane and Kia. We appreciate your the community that we are building here. We just have so much fun hanging out with you guys every week, and we are looking forward to continuing to do that in the episodes that will come. In the meantime, in between time, we've got some things that hopefully we'll be able to announce really soon and share what we've got going on to wrap up 2019. But, you know, hopefully we'll be back next week with a really dope show for you all. And until then, we'll just continue, you know, minding the business that pays us.
I agree. And in the meantime, in between time, y'all need to be like Angela Bassett.
And drink
your water.
And moisturize. Why, sis?
And mind your goddamn business, because your black will crack in the name of Jesus Christ.
Don't do it.
I'm kidding. Your black will crack if it's dry. That's or if right. You don't pull up to the next gas.
And problem. There's nothing dry about Jesus Christ. But bye.
Bye.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.